Well, good evening. Hey, so glad that you are here. Looking forward to tonight and just trusting the Lord to work tonight. Excited. We're going to get a chance to sing unto the Lord, worship the Lord through music. I'm thankful that Matt is here to lead us tonight. And let me just say a word of thanks to everyone who has helped to make this week possible. Many of you have cooked or helped in the kitchen or helped with serving. We've had a lot serving in the sound booth and helping put lyrics on screen and all that sort of thing. It takes a lot of folks to make something like this week possible, and we just want to say thank you to everybody who has helped in that regard. We sure am grateful that that's been able to help us this week. And so looking forward to tonight. We're going to sing to the Lord. We're going to worship the Lord, and then after singing and before the preaching, we get a chance to see a brand new believer follow the Lord in baptism. And so I'm really excited about that. Amen. And we're going to have a time of prayer, and the last several nights we've started this way, and the Lord's met with us, and I believe the Lord's heard our prayers. And so I don't know what your Wednesday's been like. Maybe you barely got here. I don't know. I know most of us have had those sort of days where we just barely got here. And so I just wanted us to take a moment and just let's focus in on the Lord. I believe God wants to meet with us, but I also believe God's not obligated to do that. And let's ask Him to do that. And so we're going to have just a focused time of prayer. And so I'm going to ask Brother Robert, if you begin to just play softly, and as you sit there in attitude of prayer, you may bow your head and close your eyes. I'm going to invite as many of you that would be willing, if you'll come get on this altar, and let's start tonight with prayer. And I know not everybody can. Tonight may be one of those nights where he goes, Pastor Chris, I really don't feel like it. Sometimes that's the best nights to get on the altar. That's the best nights to humble ourselves and pray, even when we don't feel like it, even when we're tired, even when, man, we've been there a bunch and we hadn't seen anything. Man, let's ask God to do what only He can. And take just a few moments and focus on your own heart and your own life. Ask if there's any unconfessed sin in your life that you need to confess. Maybe it's just been really busy and you just feel really unsettled or your mind's really scattered. Ask God to help you to focus, to have clarity. Ask God to help you not be distracted from all the stuff in the world. Would you take a moment and just thank God for the salvation He's given you? Would you thank God for the ability to even be here? Would you thank God for the work that He has done this week? And would you pray and ask that the Holy Spirit of God would be present here tonight? And I want to challenge you, would you ask God to do something really big tonight for His glory? The Word says you have not because you ask not. Man, ask God for real big things tonight. Ask God for people to be saved. Ask God that we may experience genuine, God-breathed, heaven-sent revival. Precious Jesus, we love and we adore You. We thank You so much for all that You are and all that You do. God, we thank You. God, if You don't do anything else, You've already done too much. You've done more than what we deserve. And so, God, we thank You for what You have done. But, God, I believe with all my heart that You want to do more. And so, God, we ask You to do that tonight. God, I pray that You would do something tonight that we stand back and go, man, there is no doubt. We may not even be able to describe what happened. We can just say we know God did it. And so, Lord, I pray you would do that tonight. God, would you save the lost? God, would you restore the backslidden? Would you set the captive free? Give sight to the blind. God, do things for your glory and for your name's sake. God, we've got an agenda. We've got things planned out. But ultimately, we want to lay all those things at your feet and say, God, tonight, this service is yours. And we pray that your perfect will would be done. Lord Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for your salvation. Lord, your word says, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto your name be the glory. So God, do a work tonight that will most glorify you. And Lord, we love you and we praise you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, I'm going to invite you to stand as we worship, but before we begin to sing, we're starting with a sort of invitation tonight. So if you will, if you'll stand with me, we're going to sing in just a moment. And here's the invitation as we start. I'm getting ready to walk out those doors and go upstairs and get ready for baptism. And here's the deal. It may be that you recently, maybe in one of the services this week, you've prayed and asked Jesus to save you, the way that several students have tonight. Maybe you've given your heart to Jesus for salvation in one of these meetings. Or maybe recently in the last week or 2 weeks, or maybe it's been a long time. You gave your heart to Jesus, but you've not yet followed the Lord in baptism. You've not yet taken that step. I want to invite you. We're going to start with this. In just a few minutes, we're going to have baptism. We've got some extra shirts and we've got some extra shorts. And if you've not yet taken that step, whenever in just a moment, I'm going to turn it over. We're going to begin to sing. I'm going to walk right out that door, and I'm going to pause outside that door for just a few minutes. Not long, because I got to get ready. But it may be that, man, God stirred in your heart that you need to make your decision to follow Christ public, and you need to be baptized. And you want to take that step and say, Pastor, I don't want to put off any longer. I want to do that tonight. And so, man, just felt really strong in my heart to begin tonight with an invitation. Don't worry about what anybody else may think. Don't worry about what anybody else may say. But if you've been saved recently, you asked Jesus to save you, and baptism is not on the right side of your salvation, I'm going to invite you to slip right out of your pew and walk over it, and let's talk. And we'll visit right outside those doors, and we'll get that thing set up. Man, we'll take care of business tonight, okay? Man, that's the way we want to start our service tonight. So, but don't wait long. Whenever I put this mic down, you begin to come when I move, all right? Amen. Let's sing and praise the Lord. If you need to be baptized, you come on.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this song. For I'm part of the family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this song. For I'm part of the family of God. There on a cross they made for sinners. all hail the Lord of heaven and earth. All hail King Jesus. All hail the Savior of the world. There was a moment when the sky lit up. A flash of light was breaking through. Until it was accomplished. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. When I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, and I see the stars, and I hear and grandeur, and hear the brook, and feel the gentle breeze. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art! My soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art! When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, how great thou art!
amen. Lord has sure been good to us this week and allowed us to see some pretty incredible things, and sure thank God for the work that he has done, and excited about tonight. And so I'm going to invite Ayumi in to join me here. Yeah, this is Ayumi, and so she's been with us the last couple nights, and so last night, during the invitation, I shared this last night, she came down, and Anna came with her, and she reached out and just said, "Pastor Chris, I'm not ashamed," and she gave her heart and life to Jesus last night, and man, we're so excited for her. She was sharing her story a little bit with me earlier, and with her family and just background, and comes from a Buddhist background, and she had shared that in that she just kind of knew there was something missing, there was something more. And so for about the last year and a half or so, there's been this journey of getting introduced, being around godly Christians, and them inviting her to church, and just sort of this process. And so anyway, man, she's got such a sweet spirit about her, and man, it's just been a blessing to get to be around her just a little bit, even last night and today. And so really excited for her to take this step, and really proud of you, and hope it's a source of encouragement, because here's the deal, is it's a reminder for us, right, that baptism does not save. It's only through the blood of Christ, and this is what the Lord Jesus has done, okay? And so, Ayumi, it's my understanding you've asked Jesus to be Lord and boss and master of your life. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
Well, it's upon that profession of faith, my sister, it's my privilege and honor to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Step forward here. We're buried with him through baptism into death and raised to walk in newness of life. Amen. It's such a joy and honor every time. And church, I'll be honest with you. My hope and prayer is that every single service we need to baptize people. Because if we don't, it'll just stack up. That's my hope and prayer, is that we are consistently having time here, taking time in our service to do this. Because it means that people are hearing the gospel. People are responding. People are taking steps of obedience. And the invitation is still open. It's still available to you. If you've recently been saved and you need to take this step, and I want to encourage you, let's take care of it tonight. Don't delay obedience to the Lord, man. Do it tonight. And so, really excited about that. Let me pray for Brother Sam. And Brother Sam, when I finish praying, you come and preach the Word of God to us. All right. Let me pray. God in heaven, we love and adore you. We thank you for tonight. Thank you for this testimony, this visible picture of not only what you've done, but what has happened in this believer's life. And so, God, I pray your hand of blessing be upon her. God, I pray for every person in this room. God, if there's anybody here who doesn't know you, I pray they'd be saved tonight. Lord, I pray that for those that maybe have recently been saved, that need to follow you, make their decision public, God, I pray they wouldn't be able to stay in the pew. God, I just pray that for anybody that's maybe far from you, restore them. I pray for the saints you would encourage them. Ultimately, Lord Jesus, we give this service to you and ask you to do what only you can do. Be a Brother Sam as he comes. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Well, praise God, glory, hallelujah. We thank God for the baptism tonight, amen. Let's praise the Lord again for that. Yeah, I love to see that. She was saved last night at the end of the service, baptized tonight. I mean, less than 24 hours ago. That's the way to do it. She just got it done. She's not ashamed of Jesus, not ashamed of her decision, and she followed Christ. I was telling your pastor before the service over there about a revival I was in southern Missouri just a few years ago, and we had practically the entire football team saved that week, almost the entire team, the high school team, and these guys were coming, bringing all their lost friends, And we had folks saved every single night. And the pastor had people to baptize every service. He baptized at the start of the service for the more sophisticated that, you know, brought a change of clothes and such. But at the end of the night, we'd always have more saved. And these football players said, "I want him to baptize me tonight." He said, "But you don't have a change of clothes." They said, "We don't care. We could care less." They said, "We'll go home wet. Amen." And they didn't have extra clothes for them or anything. And they just didn't care. And so that pastor ended up baptizing every night that week, Sunday night through Wednesday. Every night he baptized before the service to begin the service like we did tonight. And then he'd baptize again at the close of the service. People who'd get saved that night. And that happened all week long. I'd never seen anything like it. And so I echo what your pastor said tonight. If you're here tonight and you've been saved this week or whenever and you've not been baptized since then, why don't you get up and come during the invitation tonight and tell Brother Chris and say, "You know, I want to go ahead and do that. I want to follow Christ like I'm supposed to." And, you know, delayed obedience is not obedience at all. And baptism's the first step of obedience for a brand new believer. And so you come and just say, "I want to follow the Lord tonight." And I know he'll be happy to get back up there and get wet again for you. Amen? And so I'd encourage you to do that. But, church, I want to thank you for this week. It's been a joy and it's been a blessing being here with you and getting to know some of you this week. Thank you so much for all of your kindness and all of your hospitality. It's been wonderful being here. This is a wonderful church, and God's using this church in this community. And I appreciate so much the ministry that this church has to the college over here and reaching so many students. Not every church can say that. But thank you, church. You've been so kind to me, and thank you so much. Thank you for the meals every night. And the pastor's still back there, but I want to thank the pastor, first of all, for inviting me to come and allowing me to preach from his pulpit and trusting his pulpit to me. And I've had a wonderful time with your pastor this week and getting to know him. We've had great fellowship every day. You know, I'm a native of Arkansas. I'm born and raised in Arkansas up in the northwest corner. But there's a lot of places in this state I haven't seen. And he's taken me to see a few things this week, Mount Nebo, and today Pettigean. And man, all these places I've known about, and I've driven. I'm always in a hurry wherever I'm going because I'm always headed somewhere to another meeting. On Interstate 40, I probably drive it 50 times a year at least or more, headed south or somewhere. And I've seen all the signs and exits. I've just never had time to stop and look at any of that. And he has taken me to those places, and man, it's just so beautiful. It's been wonderful. And Brother Chris and I have enjoyed some tremendous lunches together this week. And then he took me and bought me ice cream today. So he is now on my top list of friends. Amen? Anybody that buys me ice cream is my friend forever, for life. I would do anything for him. Amen? And so, Brother Chris, if you're hearing this, thank you so much again for your friendship. And thank you for being a blessing to me. And I thank God for a good soul-winning pastor. Listen, that's all I'm around. I'm around pastors all year, all different size churches everywhere. And most of the time, that's a good experience. But it's been a real good experience this week. And I appreciate men of God like you have, because we don't have a lot of them like him anymore who are soul winners. He's got a heart for evangelism. Amen? A heart for the church. Heart as a shepherd, but heart of an evangelist as well. And I appreciate him so much for that. And that's evident in the work that the Lord's been doing here. And I'm just grateful. The Lord was already working here long before I ever come along. I'm just grateful I got to come this week and get in on it. Amen? Somebody asked me before I left up where I live. They said, "So you're going to a revival down in Russellville?" Yeah. And they said, "Well..." They said, "Great." They said, "We hope that God sends revival." I said, "We'll pray that he sends revival." And I said, I'm going there to get in on one. Amen? I can't produce it. I can't work it up. Nobody can. God has to send it down. But I said, I'm going down there to get in one. And so we praise him for what he's done this week and what I believe he'll continue to do. How many of you brought your Bibles with you tonight? All right. All right, anybody have any red Bibles in the house tonight? Any red? Okay, a few of them. All Bibles need to be read. Amen. Turn with me, if you will, to Luke, the 14th chapter. Luke chapter 14, and I'm going to read a few verses to you, beginning with verse 16, down to about verse 24. All right, Luke, the 14th chapter. We're in Luke 16 last night, but Luke 14, and I'm going to invite you, if you would, please, to stand with me out of honor and reverence for the reading of God's holy word. In Luke 14, I love this passage of Scripture, beginning at verse 16. Then said he to him, "A certain man made a great supper, and he bade," and that word "bade" is King James for invited, "many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say them that were bidden, 'Come, all things are now ready.' And then they all, with one consent, began to make excuse." Has anybody in here ever done that? "And the first said unto him, 'I bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go see it. I pray thee have me excused.' Another said, 'I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I need to go prove them. I pray thee have me excused.' And another said, 'I've married a wife, therefore I cannot come.' And so that servant came and showed his lord these things. And then the master of the house, being angry, said to the servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes in the city, and bring in hither the poor, the halt, the blind.' And the servant said, 'Lord, it's done as thou hast commanded, but there is still room.' And the Lord said unto the servant, 'Go out in the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled.'" Now look at verse 24. "For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden or invited shall taste of my supper." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you and we just praise you tonight. And Father, we thank you for your son Jesus, who 2,000 years ago came to this earth, went to a cross as a sinless person, the Son of God, and went to the cross, took the punishment and suffering that we deserve, died in our place, paid our sin debt in full, and rose victoriously over death, hell, and the grave to give us life. And Father, tonight, as I preach this message, I pray you would help me to do it. God, I pray that you'd give me anointing, you would give me unction. Father, I pray that you'd use this simple message tonight to speak to hearts this evening. Father, help us to understand that time is running out. Help us to understand that today's the day of salvation. And Father, I pray for anyone in this building tonight that's not yet been saved, or that doesn't have assurance that they're saved, or assurance of eternal life, I pray tonight they would settle it once and for all. So, Father, I pray you would save souls tonight for your kingdom, for your glory. I pray you'd speak to your people and stir our hearts and draw us closer to you, and we'll give you the praise and honor and glory for all of it. In Jesus' name we ask, amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You know, I don't have to tell you tonight that probably all of us are guilty at time to time of making excuses for various reasons. We make excuses for almost everything, and unfortunately, even when it comes to the most important issues of life. And this story that Jesus tells is a perfect illustration of that. You see, in this chapter, Jesus is at the house of one of the leading chief Pharisees or religious leaders of that day, and he uses an opportunity to tell two different stories in this chapter. It's the second story that I want to call your attention to tonight, called the Parable of the Great Supper. It's about an invitation. Now, three words stand out to me in this passage. We read them a moment ago, and that is the word "come," and the word "now," and the word "bade." And again, that word "bade" in the King James means invited. And this means that the supper was for everyone and that all were invited. And because of the nature of the invitation, those who were invited needed to respond, now listen to me, immediately. And the meaning behind this parable is simply this. It's an invitation to come to Jesus for salvation. It's urgent because all things are now ready, it says in this passage. And the Bible says in verse 18 that they all begin to make excuses, and I love these excuses here. One of them says, well, I can't come. He says, you know, I bought a piece of ground, and I got to go look at it. Well, supper was always held at night. And this was back in before the first century, and can you imagine? What are they going to do? Go out with the pickup and put lights on it? I mean, pretty lame excuse. He said, I bought some ground, and he said, I can't come to supper. I'm going to look at it. Another says, well, I bought some oxen, and I need to go prove them. Well, again, this is at night. And then the third one, look at his excuse. He said, I bought a wife. He said, I got me a wife. He said, I've just married a wife. He said, so I can't come. So they all begin to make excuses. People will use all kind of excuses to keep from coming to the supper, from coming to Christ. And friends, the implication here is very, very clear. God loves you. Jesus Christ died for you to offer you forgiveness of sin and eternal life. And you can be like those in this parable and turn it down by making some excuse, or you can come to Christ tonight and you can know that you're saved. Well, what are some of the excuses that people give? Well, I've heard hundreds of them over the years. I mean, literally hundreds of them. But what I'm going to do tonight in this simple message is just give you what I believe are probably the most prevalent or some of the most popular excuses that people give. So I want us to think tonight about what is your excuse. What is your excuse? I'm going to give an invitation at the end of this message. And we're going to invite anyone and everyone that needs to be saved to get up and come and respond to this invitation. And I pray that every lost person in this building tonight would. But some may not, and you're going to give some kind of excuse. Well, what are you going to say? Well, let me share a few of them tonight, all right? The first excuse that's used quite often is this. Well, I don't know much about the Bible. Preacher, I know that I need to be saved, and probably one of these days I will, but I'm not going to right now because I just don't know much about the Bible. Well, turn over to Romans, the 10th chapter, and look at verse 17. Verse 17, and it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. You see, Jesus never said that you had to understand everything to be saved. I mean, you need to understand that you're a sinner. You need to understand that you're lost. That's basically it. You need to understand that Jesus is the only way. But Jesus said you need to believe. Amen? You have to take the Bible by faith. And that's the same way that you receive Christ, is by faith. And here's how it works. I mean, you hear the Word of God, and after you're saved, then you begin to understand the Word of God. I don't know, there may be some electricians in this building tonight, and if there are, you understand electricity, but I do not understand electricity. I know nothing about it at all. I cannot explain it. I just know this. I've been taught since I was a little boy that I'm not supposed to go around sticking my fingers in light sockets. Amen? And that's about all I know about electricity. And friends, I've been a Christian now since 1983, and while I've learned a lot about the Bible over the years, friend, there's still things that I'm learning. There's still things that I don't know. I haven't arrived yet. There's still things that I don't completely understand, but I want to tell you this, I believe it. Amen? I believe it. Man, I believe it from cover to cover. I even believe the maps. Amen? I believe it because it is the Word of God. And you know, the Bible tells us that the natural man's the unsaved person. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him, neither can he discern him. And so, friends, when the Holy Spirit deals with you, friends, and then he illuminates your mind, and then you begin to understand, hey, I'm lost. I need Christ. And while you don't understand everything, you know you need him, and you need to respond to that invitation. And then after you come to know Christ, that's when you can begin to understand the Word of God. The Bible says by wisdom, that's talking about human wisdom, man cannot know God. Cannot. But friend, what do? By faith, you believe. Amen? By faith, you believe that Jesus is Lord. By faith, you believe that he died on the cross to pay the penalty for your sins. By faith, you believe the gospel, which is the death, burial, and resurrection. By faith, you believe and you know that you're a sinner. By faith, you believe and you know that you're guilty before God. By faith, you believe that if you'll call upon the Lord, that He will save you. Again, it's not a matter of how much of the Bible you understand. It's simply a matter of faith. It's a matter of trusting Christ to save you. How many of you ever heard of old Mark Twain? Mark Twain from Missouri, from Hannibal, Missouri. Nobody's heard of him? Come on now. Got a college across the street? I mean, come on, Mark Twain. Amen. And, you know, he's from Missouri. And by the way, he was an atheist. I really don't like to quote atheists, but I'm going to quote him on this. And this is what he said. It's not parts of the Bible that I don't understand that bothered me. It's parts of the Bible I do understand that bother me. You see, friends, don't use that excuse tonight. Well, I know I need to be saved, but I'm not going to respond to this invitation being offered to me because I don't know enough about the Bible. When I got saved, you know how much I knew about the Bible? Almost nothing. I mean, if you would have said, told me to turn to a book of Genesis or Revelation, although I grew up in church, I didn't grow up in a good, solid Bible-believing church. Friend, I couldn't even told you where it was. I mean, I didn't know. I knew nothing. When I got saved, all I knew, I was lost and I was going to hell. I believed it. The Holy Spirit convicted me and dealt with me. And the preacher said that if I'd place my faith and trust in Jesus, I could be saved. And I did. And you know what? He did. Amen? And He saved me. So don't let the devil give you that excuse. I don't know enough about the Bible. Here's another excuse that people will use perhaps tonight. I'm going to wait until I can live it. I'll wait until I can live it, and then I'll get saved. Well, let me give you a little bit of advice. You'll never get saved. If you wait till you live it, you'll never, never, never get saved. Titus chapter 3, verse 5 says, not by works of righteousness that I have done. Amen? But it's about Christ. I've quoted this verse several times this week already. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. It says, by grace, that means God's unmerited favor. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. We cannot work for it. By grace are you saved through what? Faith. Faith in Christ. Not of works, not of yourself. It is a gift of God, lest anyone should boast. And so, friend, don't use this excuse, I'll wait until I can live it. This excuse has kept a lot of people out of heaven. Friends, the Christian life is Christ living in you. And He can't live in you until you have Him. Amen? And you can't live the Christian life without Him. You can be religious, but you can't live the Christian life without Him. There has to be that second birth. There has to be a new birth. That's why Jesus said you must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. Friend, you got to be forgiven of your sins. You got to be cleansed, and you do that through the cross of Christ. You need a righteous standing with a holy God. And friends, you cannot earn or work up to that. By faith, you personally receive Christ. I love what the Apostle Paul said. He said that Christ came into this world to save sinners, in whom I'm chief. Sometimes I would argue with him about that. I felt like I'm chief. But He came into the world to save sinners. Amen? And friends, I believe there are millions and millions and millions of people in hell right now who use this excuse. They had an opportunity to be saved, and they turned down that opportunity. They turned down the invitation because they said, I'm going to wait until I can live it. Well, it's too late now. Here's another excuse. Well, preacher, I would respond to the invitation tonight when you give it, but I'm already a good person. But are you a saved person? Amen? That's what matters. Good people don't go to heaven. Saved people go to heaven. Amen? Well, I'm a good person. Well, the Bible says you're really not. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, there's none righteous, not even one. That includes you. That includes you and you and you. That includes me. None righteous, not even one. The Bible says that our righteousness is like a filthy rag in the sight of God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned, not some, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Friends, as a virtue of being a part of the human race, we've all sinned, we're all guilty, we all miss the mark. None of us have an ounce of righteousness in our life, and the Bible says the wages of sin is death. We're sinners by nature and we're sinners by practice. And you may be a good person according to other people or in your own standards. You may say, well, I'm better than other people. Well, maybe you are. I don't know. But listen, friend, you better look at it the way God looks at it. You still need God's forgiveness and His grace and mercy. Good people go to hell every day, every hour, every minute, every second. Personal goodness keeps a lot of people out of heaven. Amen? They're thinking, well, hey, I'm a good old boy. I live a pretty good life, you know. And so I don't need to respond to that invitation. I've already got it. Well, friend, tell me, when did you get saved? Well, I didn't get saved. You need to be saved. You need to trust Jesus. Your personal goodness is not good enough. And we need to understand something tonight. Heaven is not a reward you get for being good. Not right? It's not a reward you get for being good. You can't earn it. It's impossible. You get it by faith when you trust Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7 verse 20 that there's not a just man on the earth that does good and does not sin. That's what the Bible says. And anybody without Christ is completely spiritually lost and separated from God and condemned to a devil's hell. And friends, the only solution is to come to Christ. So don't use that excuse. I'm already a good person. Well, here's another reason some people's not going to respond to the invitation tonight. Well, I don't know if God will forgive me, preacher. You know, I'd like to be saved. I'd love to become a Christian. I'd love to know that I'd go to heaven when I die. But preacher, you don't know me. You don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. You don't know the things I've done. No, I don't, and I don't need to know, but I'm telling you, God already knows. And I've quoted this verse every sermon this week. Romans 5:8 says, God commended His love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen? And then in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, look at that in your Bibles, just quickly. In 1 John, that's in the back of your Bible, 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, look what it says. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, what? Cleanses us from all sin. You see that? Skip down at verse 9 and 10. This is speaking to Christians here. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and the word is not in us. The truth is not in us. So don't use that excuse. I don't think God will forgive me. Listen, that's the whole purpose He sent His Son to this earth, to suffer and bleed and died. It's so that you could be forgiven. I want you to always remember this. There is not a person on earth that Jesus did not die for. That person that lives next door that irritates you and bothers you, God loves them. Jesus died for them. Why don't you go next door and tell them about Him? Huh? Amen? Everybody needs Jesus. And there's not a person He did not shed His blood for. And there's not a sin that He will not wash away forever if a person will repent and believe on Christ. Amen? I love the book of Isaiah. It says, though your sins be red like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. That's what Christ will do. So no matter what your sin, no matter what you've done, friend, God will forgive you and save you. That was the purpose of the cross. On the cross, Jesus took your sin in His body. He took your sins with Him to the cross. He bore your sin. He paid the penalty for your sin. He took in your body the guilt and punishment and judgment that you and I deserve for our sins. The innocent died for the guilty. He died in your place, in my place. And because of his sacrificial death on Calvary's cross, man can be made right with God. You can know that your sins are forgiven. You can know that you're a child of God and that you have eternal life. So don't use that excuse. The devil will whisper in your ear, don't you go down there tonight. Don't you go down there. You've done something God's not going to forgive. Friend, don't you dare listen to him. You come tonight and throw yourself at the mercy of God and let Christ forgive you. All right? Here's another excuse. Now, I talked about this one in my sermon last night, so I'm just going to breeze through this point. But another excuse that people will use, well, preacher, I don't need to respond to the invitation. I'm already religious. Well, you may be religious. You may go to church. You might even be a member of a church. You may say, I believe in God. You may know some Bible stories. You might even read the Bible. You might even pray. You may have been baptized. And all of those are good things, and all of those are important things. But I want to ask you, have you been saved? Because if you haven't been saved, you're religious but lost. We looked at those verses in Matthew 7 last night, verses 21 through 23. I think it bears looking at them again before we move on to the next point. Look at Matthew 7, 21 through 23. These are religious people standing before Jesus at the final judgment day. And in verse 21, Jesus says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in that name? That means to teach and to preach. And in thy name done have we cast out demons or devils. In thy name done many wonderful works. They'll say, Jesus, look at all the things we did for you, and we did them in your name. And then I'll profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Friend, you can be religious but lost. Amen? And listen, there are people in our churches that way. That our world is filled with people like that. Man, you just ask them, they'll even tell you that they're religious. Amen? But friend, the question is, have you been saved? Have you been born again? What did Jesus say over in John chapter 3, verse 3 and verse 7? Speaking to a man that's more religious than anybody in this room, Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, unless you're born again, you'll not enter the kingdom of God. And then he told him down a few verses later, unless you're born again, you'll not even see the kingdom of God. Amen? So friend, have you been born again? You know, I've had two birthdays. I had my physical birthday on August the 23rd back in 1958. Some of y'all didn't even know that last century existed. Amen? I know I don't look that old. Thank you. God bless you. Amen? But I was. August 23rd, 1958. But I had another birthday. I had another birthday, February the 18th, 1983. You say, what do you mean? That's when I got born again. That's when I got saved. That's when I received Christ. And I want to tell you something. That second birthday is just as real as my first one. Just as real. In fact, I remember a whole lot more about the second one than I do the first one. Amen? It's real. Have you been born again? You say, well, have you been born again? When did it happen? Where were you at? Has your life been changed? That's what happens when you're born again. So, friend, don't use that excuse, well, I'm already religious. Religious people go to hell. Religious people go to hell. Saved people go to heaven. I've mentioned this several times this week. Friend, if you haven't been saved, you're not a Christian. I don't care if you've been in church all your life. If you haven't been saved, you're not a child of God. Oh, preacher, we're all God's children. That's not what the Bible says. It's not what the Bible says. If you haven't been saved, you're not a child of God. If you haven't been saved, God's not your heavenly Father. I don't believe in this universalism stuff. Amen? Universalism says, hey, it doesn't matter what you believe. All paths lead to God. It doesn't matter. It does matter what you believe, and it matters in whom you believe. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to Father except through me. There aren't two ways to heaven, three ways to heaven. There's only one way, and that's through Christ. So, friend, don't use that excuse. I'm already religious. Let me give you another one. We're getting close to being done. Some people are going to use this excuse. I'm going to put these two together. Rather than having 2 points, I'm going to put them under one. Well, preacher, I would respond to the invitation tonight, but I'm too old or I'm too young. Let's start with the old first, all right? Look at Romans 10, 9 and 10. I quote these verses every sermon. You all have heard them all week long. You hear them from your pastor. But I want you to look at them. Look at it in your Bible in Romans 10, 9. If you will confess with your mouth, who? The Lord Jesus. And believe in your heart, not just in your head, that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be, what's that word, church? Saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with a mouth confession is made unto salvation. All right. Does it say anything about age in there? I don't see it anywhere in my Bible. And it's not in your Bible either. Amen? And I want to tell you, senior adults are the hardest people on planet Earth to reach for Christ. Now, I want to tell you why. You've lived all your life lost. And particularly if you're religious but lost. And Satan's convinced you that you're okay. And friend, you live your whole life lost. Listen, your heart gets filled with pride. You may harden your heart. And again, the longer you live lost, the harder it is for you to get saved. And I've seen a lot of senior adults before over the years grip that pew and hang on to it. I know they need to respond, but because of pride in their heart and their life, they would not respond. They'd rather die and go to hell than let somebody in their family know that they're lost and they need Jesus. Amen? I plead with you tonight. Friend, if there are any senior adults in here, well, anybody in here, you're not saved tonight, friend, you respond to this invitation tonight and give your heart and life to Jesus. Swallow your pride, get over yourself, humble yourself, and come to Jesus. Do that tonight. Don't let your age keep you out of heaven. And then there's others that would say, I'm too young to come to Christ. Now, I do want to explain something about that when we talk about young. They do need to be old enough to understand that they are a sinner. Amen? They need to be old enough to understand what sin is and that they are a sinner, and old enough for the Holy Spirit to convict them and deal with them. And what is that age? I have no idea what that age is. If they've been in church ever since they've been born, it's probably a very young age. Amen? And I've seen hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands of kids, of children saved over the year who I believe are genuinely, truly saved. You say, well, they're just too young to be saved. I was at a church in South Arkansas, Fordyce area, preaching a meeting. And I gave the invitation. It was on Sunday morning. And a little boy got up. And he was sitting in the back with his parents. And he walked all the way down that aisle. And I'm guessing he was probably about 9 or 10 maybe. I'm just guessing. And he came and I could hear the pastor talking to him. And that boy wanted to get saved. And he was getting ready to lead the boy to the Lord. And all of a sudden, here came his dad from the back row, his deacon dad, by the way. And he comes storming down the aisle, as mad as could be. Man, the Holy Spirit went right out the window. Amen? And he came down that aisle, and he grabbed that boy by the arm. He said, "Leave him alone, preacher. He's not old enough to be saved." I think somebody else needed to get saved. Amen? Well, I've been back to that church numerous times, several meetings. And the last time I was there, that boy was in high school, junior. He's probably out of high school now. And you know what he does? He sits on the very back row, doesn't bring a Bible with him, doesn't sing, doesn't listen to the sermon, play some video game or something on his phone. He could care less about God or church, but he's there and has no desire to be saved. And one day, that boy's daddy went to the pastor, and he said, "We're concerned about our son. You know, he's getting close to graduating high school, and man, he's getting ready to get out in the world on his own, and he's not saved, and we're very concerned about him." Thank God for that pastor. That pastor said, "You weren't too concerned about him a few years ago. He walked the aisle, and you embarrassed him in front of the whole church." Amen? And he said, "He may not ever come to Christ." And he said, "That's your fault, Dad. His blood's on your hands." And I want to remind you, parents, I want to remind you, grandparents, you hear me well. You are not the Holy Spirit. Amen? I've seen this way. I get so sick of it. I see it all the time. Haven't seen it here this week, not one single time. But I see it at most places I go. You get to the invitation, particularly if there's a lot of little kids in the service. I've seen their mamas grab hold of them so tight, there's no way they could get out of that bear hug and get down the aisle. They do that during the invitation because they don't want them to come. I've seen grandparents do the same thing. And friend, we're not the Holy Spirit. If God speaks to a little boy's heart, little girl's heart, a teenager, whoever it may be, God forbid, don't ever stand in the way of anyone coming to Christ. Jesus said, whosoever will, let him come. Amen? And you know, I hear a lot of young people, a lot of students, we've got a lot of students in this church, I hear a lot of them say, well, you know I need to be saved, but I'm going to wait a while because, you know, I've got some living to do yet, and I'm going to miss out on a lot of things, a lot of fun if I give my life to Christ now. No, I'll tell you what will happen if you give your heart and life to Christ tonight. You're going to save your life from a bunch of sin and misery and ultimately death and hell. And you ought to come to Christ tonight. You ought to come to Christ as soon as you can. So, friend, don't use that age thing for an excuse. And I'll give you one more and I'll be done. Some people are going to say this, well, I know I need to be saved and I need to respond to the invitation, but, and I preached about this Sunday morning, I'm not ready, but I'll do it someday. That's just an excuse. 2 Corinthians 6, 1 through 2 says what? Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. What do we not understand about that verse? You say, I've got plenty of time. How do you know that? The only time you know you have is right now. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. Friend, it's coming to all of us sooner or later, and maybe sooner than later. And the devil will tell you, not now, don't go down there right now. That's always the devil. The devil will say, you've got plenty of time. You just wait. Wait till Easter to come. The only problem with that group, you never see them again till the next Easter. Hello? Amen? If I could skip a Sunday every year preaching, it would be Easter Sunday. I'm not trying to be irreverent. Please don't take me wrong on that. Preachers understand this. But that, if I could miss, I'm usually in a revival on Easter every year. But if I was going to miss a Sunday, it'd be Easter Sunday. The church is so full. But the thing that keeps me going is there's so many lost people there. Amen? But you got a lot of religious lost people. And that's a hard group to reach. But the Lord can reach them. So don't use that excuse. I'm not ready. I'll do it some other time. The devil will always, always tell you, not now. Friends, the Bible never tells you to put off coming to Christ. Give me one verse on that. You won't find it. The Bible never tells you to wait. When the Holy Spirit deals with you, that's when you need to get saved. Amen? You don't put it off any longer. And friend, it could be a fatal and eternal mistake that you would regret for all of eternity. And there are many people, listen to me, who are in hell tonight who had planned, they had planned on giving their life to Christ someday. Y'all know what I'm saying? But they never did. And they never will now. It's too late. Don't you be one of them. I'm going to close with this story tonight. What's your excuse? I just gave you seven of them tonight. And I could keep going. I could preach a whole series on this for a week. There's so many. But these are the most prevalent. These are the most common excuses. So what excuse are you going to give tonight when we give this invitation in a few minutes? What excuse are you going to give? I heard about a friend of mine actually told me this, an evangelist friend of mine. was preaching a revival in El Dorado, Arkansas. And they had a youth emphasis night, and they had a lot of youth there, a lot of teenagers there that night, and they had several of them saved. Well, at the close of the service, him and the pastor were standing back there at the door, shaking hands when people left and everything. And he said the first one to get up and come, and he said, man, he was in a hurry. He was in a hurry. It was one of the teenagers. And he come the door, he was in a hurry. And my evangelist friend stopped him and said, hold it, wait a minute. And he shook his hand, and he said, son, are you one of them that got saved tonight? I mean, there were several saved that night. And he said, no, sir, I didn't get saved tonight. He says, oh, he said, so you already saved, son? He said, no, I'm not saved. And my evangelist friend said, you're not saved? He said, no, I'm not. He said, well, don't you want to be saved? He said, of course I want to be saved. He said, well, son, come over here. We'll lead you to Jesus right now. And he looked over to the pastor. He said, pastor, this boy wants to get saved. Let's lead him to the Lord right now. And the boy said, no, you don't understand. I didn't mean tonight, but yeah, one of these days I get saved. And they said, they could see conviction all over his face. And they said, no, son, they said, right now, we'll lead you to Jesus right now if you want to be saved. He said, the youth group's getting ready to meet over at the Dairy Queen or somewhere. He said, I'm in charge of the youth group. And he said, I got to get over and get the tables reserved. He said, that's why I'm in a hurry. He said, but I'll be back tomorrow night. Tomorrow night's the last service. He said, and I'll get saved tomorrow night. They pleaded with him. They tried to keep him from leaving, but he left. You all know what I'm getting ready to tell you. True story. He walked out of that little country church, got on his motorcycle, and in less than 5 minutes later, he was in hell. True story. Motorcycle left the road, nobody knows why. Hit a big oak tree head on, killed him instantly. If you go there today, there's a memorial there of some flowers that they put out every year and a cross to remember him. See, the boy already admitted to both the pastor and the evangelist. He admitted, I'm not saved. He admitted that. He knew that. He also knew that he needed to be saved. But he also knew that he wasn't saved. And his excuse was, I'll do it tomorrow night. Tomorrow night never came for that young man. He was in hell before the undertakers took his shoes off that night. That quick. You see, friend, I tell you that awful story to simply say this: none of us are promised tomorrow. Young, old, in between, it doesn't matter. The only time we know for certain we have is right now, isn't it? And that's why the Bible says today is the day of salvation. So friend, don't turn down the invitation tonight. In Luke 14, it says everyone was invited. Everyone was invited. It says all things are ready now. Everyone was invited. But it says they all began to make excuses. And what did Jesus say at the end of that chapter I read to you? He said not one of those who were invited, talking about those who turned down the invitation, shall taste of my supper. The application is salvation. Not one who was invited will taste of my supper. Everyone in this building has been invited tonight. Holy Spirit dealing with your heart, I want to encourage you tonight to come to Christ. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, if you would please. And this is a very important time, a very holy time. And the Lord laid this message upon my heart, and I believe there's someone, at least one here tonight, probably more than that, I feel certain of that, that need to come to know Christ tonight. And you can do that tonight. We talked about all those excuses, just eliminate those. And when we stand here in a few moments, just get up and come. You say, well, preacher, what do I have to do to be saved? I would like to be saved tonight, but I'm not sure how. Tell me how to be saved. I want you to listen carefully. The first step is simply to admit that you're not. Admit that you're lost. Lost is a Bible word that describes our spiritual condition without Christ. Before you're saved, you're lost. Have you ever come to the point in your life when you realize you were lost? If you haven't, you've never gotten saved. You might have made a decision, but you didn't get saved. You can't get saved till you know you're lost. And the problem in the 21st century is not getting people saved. The problem's getting people lost, because everybody thinks they're so good. And so the first step is to admit, I'm lost. I need Jesus. Can you do that tonight? Just admit to God right now, I'm lost. I need you, Jesus. Secondly, you got to be willing to repent of your sins. Turn from your sins. What does it mean to repent? It's a change of mind about your sin, about yourself, and about God. God, I'm sorry for my sin. I know it was my sin that nailed Jesus to the cross. And God, I don't want to live this way any longer. And I'm willing to turn from my sins. I'm willing to turn from myself. And I'm willing to turn to Jesus. Would you be willing to turn tonight? Be willing to repent. Thirdly, you've got to believe. It's repentance toward God and faith in Jesus Christ that saves a person. You got to believe. I already quoted Romans 10:9. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, and you shall be saved. It's not enough just to believe with your head. It's not enough just to believe about Jesus. Those that believe about Jesus, they don't have a problem with Jesus, but they just believe in his existence. That will not save anybody. I was preaching in India one time to a bunch of Hindus, thousands of them. And I gave an invitation much like this one. I said, if you want to receive Jesus, everybody just stand up right now. Every one of them stood. Because they just add Jesus to their God list. They don't have a problem with Jesus, but they're not going to surrender him as Lord. Well, some do. And then I said, if you're willing to forsake all other gods and follow only Jesus as Lord, remain standing. 90% of them sat down. But a few of them remain standing. So you see what I'm saying? You place your faith in Jesus and him alone to be your Lord and Savior and Master tonight. You say, what do I believe? You believe that he's the Son of God. You believe he died on the cross to pay for your sins. And he rose from the dead to give you life. And you believe on him. You trust him to save you. Have you ever trusted him to save you? It's not enough just to believe in his existence and believe about him. You believe on him. You could do that right now. You say, I want to do that, preacher. Then I want to encourage you right now to personally receive Christ into your life. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I'm going to pray a very simple and a very brief prayer here in just a moment. And I'm going to pray out loud, and you can pray out loud if you would like. That isn't going to bother anyone. Or right there where you're sitting in your pew, you can whisper this prayer to God. Listen, he's God. He can hear a whisper all the way from heaven, because it's your heart that he's looking at. And just ask the Lord to come into your life and ask him to say, he's not going to come where he's not been invited. He will not. You got to invite him. And so if you're willing to believe tonight and you're willing to repent, then you need to call up on the Lord right now. You say, well, what would I say, preacher? I wouldn't know what to say. Well, that's why I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And I can't do it for you. You have to call on the Lord. You have to believe. You have to repent. But I can certainly lead you in a prayer, and I'll be glad to do that. And I'm going to do that right now. And you can just whisper this prayer from your heart to the Lord right now. Do it right now. Say something like this. Say, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm lost. If I died right now, I'd go to hell. And I need you. Lord, I repent in my heart of my sin. I believe that you died on the cross for me to pay for my sins. And I believe you rose from the dead to give me life. So, Lord Jesus, right now I surrender my life to you. And I ask you to come into my life, save my soul, forgive me of all my sins, and changed my life. Thank you for saving me just now. Thank you for loving me. Oh, thank you for loving me, Jesus. And help me to live the rest of my life for you. Help me to never be ashamed of you. In Jesus' name I pray. As our heads are still bowed and eyes are closed, Jesus said, whoever confesses me before others, I'll confess before my Father who's in heaven. Jesus said, whoever denies me before others, I'll deny before my Father who's in heaven. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. He made it pretty clear. Every person Jesus called to follow him, he called them publicly. And Jesus died publicly on a cross for you. So here's what we're going to do. In just a few moments, we're going to stand. And you're going to have an opportunity to get up and come. The pastor's going to be standing down here, and you can take his hand and say, Pastor, I called up on the Lord. And you can make your decision public. And I want you to do two things tonight. If you prayed that prayer tonight and you met it, the first thing I want you to do is this. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to come to you. You don't have to worry about that happening. But man, you ought not be ashamed. You ought to be overwhelmed about this. You ought to be so excited about it. If you called up on the Lord right now, if that simple prayer, could I just see your hand? Just put it up where I could see it. Just put it up and then put it back down. Say, I asked Jesus to save me, okay? Who else? Say, I asked Jesus to save me tonight. I asked him to come into my heart. Nobody has to, you don't need to be looking around. The invitation's not a spectator event. Friend, just say, I called up on the Lord tonight. I asked you, amen. Amen. Who else tonight? I called up on the Lord tonight. I prayed that prayer with you, preacher, and I met. Who else tonight? I believe there's somebody else, did you? Just put your hand up for a moment and then put it back down. Say, I did. Well, I thank God for those who were brave enough and bold enough and unashamed enough to put their hands up tonight. Because listen, I've been where you've been. And I know what that is. But I told you there's two things I want you to do tonight. You already know what the other one is. Brother Chris is down here. In a moment, we're all going to stand. And if you called up on the Lord tonight, if you're one of them that raised your hands tonight, you know who you are. I want you to do something really bold, and I want you to do it for me. I want you to do it for Jesus, because he said to. I want you to get out of your seat. I want you to walk down the aisle and take Pastor Chris's hand and just say, Brother Chris, I prayed with that preacher. I asked Jesus to save me. And that's all you need to tell him. He'll handle it from there. And you come and do that on the very first verse. There's no need to wait. There's no need to tarry. Just get out and come. If you called upon it, you say, I don't understand all of it. You don't have to understand all of it. Did you do it? You get up and come. And you tell the pastor tonight. Now, there may be some others tonight. You didn't pray with me. You didn't raise a hand. You say, but I want to be saved. I don't want to walk out of here lost, separated from God on my way to hell. I want to be saved. What about me, preacher? I didn't pray with you, so what about me? Just get up and come. Just get up and come like the others and come to the pastor and say, Brother Chris, I need Jesus. And they'll lead you to Jesus right down here in the altar. You can come down here and fall on the altar yourself and call up on the Lord and ask him to save you, and he will. But then you need to tell the pastor so he can help you make that decision public tonight. Friend, you listen, the greatest decision of your life, and you want to make it public.